preached by the Emeritus Pastor, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, or saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCM viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online. This is the 53rd lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I told you about two beings that stayed beside Adam in the Garden of Eden. They were cherubim and the dinosaurs. Cherubim are spiritual beings that originally come from the third heaven, and the dinosaurs originally come from the second heaven. In the concept of the dimension based on the spaces, cherubim belongs to the third dimension and the dinosaur to the second dimension. Their roles in helping Adam were also different. Cherubim escorted Adam and guarded Garden of Eden. Among the cherubim and the Garden of Eden, those in a leading position escorted Adam and followed him wherever he went. Adam closely communicated with those cherubim that were in charge of the guarding the border of the Garden of Eden. Protecting the Garden of Eden was very important. Simply put, the dinosaurs were like a pets to Adam. Adam just played with them and enjoyed their company. In this way, the cherubim took the greater role than dinosaurs did in helping Adam. There were many dinosaurs in the Garden of Eden, and the leader of the dinosaurs was very close to Adam. Please remember that the dinosaur that I will be repeatedly mentioning is the dinosaurs, which was in very close proximity to Adam. When Adam visited the earth, the cherubim followed Adam, but dinosaurs couldn't go with him. Since the cherubim were spiritual beings, they could freely visit the earth. On the other hand, the dinosaurs were made from the dirt of the Garden of Eden. So if they wanted to come to the earth, they would have to ride an aircraft like Adam. However, they didn't actually need to travel to the earth. The reason was because the earth was none of their concern. Even though dinosaurs were loved by the Adam, they envied the cherubim, which always followed Adam. Dinosaurs didn't have a humanity like a man. However, they spent many long years with Adam and thus did not know what was to share love with them. Dinosaurs felt good when Adam was with them, but they didn't when Adam was accompanied only by cherubim. Their envy of a cherubim increased as time passed. You can see that even pets become envious and jealous of each other. Dogs and other animals also show a lot of jealousy and envy. If there are several dogs in one house, they compete fiercely with each other to get more attention and love from their master. Dinosaurs were specially created for Adam in the Garden of Eden by God. They were far smarter than any animals of the earth, and they had excellent ability to commune with Adam. So you shouldn't compare dinosaurs to any other animals on this planet. They were far superior in terms of the wisdom and everything because they were born in the second heaven. Therefore, they wanted to be loved all the more by Adam, and so they envied the cherubim. This envy of the dinosaurs grew too big, and it finally went beyond the limited. Since the dinosaurs were made from the ground of the Garden of Eden, they didn't have an evil attribute originally. However, as envy continued to build up, it's more likely to eventually turn into the evil, such as jealousy and envy. I said the roles of the cherubim and the dinosaurs were surely different. Dinosaurs couldn't play the role of the cherubim, and the cherubim did not act like dinosaurs. Therefore, dinosaurs only had to be faithful to their role and be satisfied with it. But problems arose because they were greedy beyond their means. Each part of your body has its own role. Eyes, nose, mouth, ears, hands, and feet. What if feet envied hands and wanted to become a hand? What if hands wanted to become eyes out of their envy? The same applies to all workers in the church. Some duties seem more important according to the situation or time. However, there's no duty that is not important. For example, I'm given the duty of the senior pastor of this church. What good would this position be without the saints? Depending on their duties, some people's works are revealed outwardly, but others' works are not at all. However, it's not true that the revealed works are more important than the unrevealed works. Therefore, all the works should be faithful to their duties, and they should also respect other workers who are given different duties. If I do the mission entrusted to me to show off to others, it cannot be acceptable before God. Just you and I to look only to God the Father and carry out the mission given to me with all my heart. If I do it to show off to someone or to look good, it has nothing to do with God. It's better to do something unknown to people than to take on a mission with that kind of a mind. You should understand that all of you are essential to the kingdom of God. You should cooperate with each other. However, when we see others being loved, accepted, and enjoying better things than ourselves, each person reacts differently. Some people just envy others and say, that would really be good. Some others may say, he's no better than I am, so why is he the only one who is praised and loved? In this way, they pass the judgment and become jealous of the others. Still, someone others say, he is loved so much, but am I? They lose heart. If you love God and do your best, there's no reason to be discouraged. Since God sees you, God just needs to acknowledge you. You don't have to be recognized by people. However, if you feel discouraged, it means that you also want it to be recognized by people. They feel this situation is unfair and they become sad. You should know that the reason for all this reaction is because they have evil in your heart. But you might think it's just becoming envious and the evil act. Envy out of the jealousy belongs to the evil. Those who truly love God feel thankful for those workers who have the more important and the greater duties. How thankful they become because their other workers do what they cannot do for the kingdom of God, and thus they rejoice together. They try to help them in any way they can. They also try to model themselves after such a people and take the opportunity to further develop themselves. I hope that you will check yourself whether you truly rejoice with the truth in your heart through the case of the dinosaurs and the cherubim which stayed at Adam's side. Dinosaurs were not satisfied with their role. They greatly envied the cherubim. Their envy grew too big and it came close to the disaster. There was one being which kept an eye on such a dinosaur. It was a Satan. The Garden of Eden joins the domain of the darkness. The evil spirits in the domain of the darkness always coveted the Garden of Eden and looked for the chance to bring down Adam. They were always on the watch for the chance to take root in the Garden of Eden. From some moment on, Satan perceived the dinosaurs greatly envied the cherubim. Satan never loses even the slightest opportunity, but grabs it. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Satan is like a radio wave that spreads through the air. When there are people have untrue thought, it will try to contact them immediately. For example, if there's a man who hates someone, Satan can incite the man through his thought. Satan incites the man to keep on misunderstanding, judging, and condemning the one he hates. If there's a man who is greedy for material gain, Satan puts unrighteous thoughts into him. You can't miss this great opportunity to make money. Other people are using tricks like that, so it's okay. If you lose money, you are the only fool. Such a like that, Satan transmits its evil thoughts through the air, looking for a man who can accept the projected thoughts. From among the people of the world, Satan notices precisely the one whose hearts are moved by the untruth. And then Satan injects into people Satan's thought and unrighteousness and the evil thoughts of Satan. If the man accepts it, soon evil in his heart starts work. When the water boils in the container, it will boil over. It might turn into the steam and escape from the container. The one who accepted the thought of Satan cannot suppress his ill feeling or lust. As they boil over, they are expressed. A facial expression and the manner of speaking may change. He or the people show the evil acts that go beyond the normal behavior. Once a person starts to receive the work of the devil, even more evil actions may be displayed. I hope that you can understand how Satan and the devil work, and that you will never open yourself up to slightest evil. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, "Be of a sober spirit, be on the alert, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I urge you to pray fervently all the time to be spiritually awakened. When you spot on truth and the devil in your heart and the thought, you should immediately turn back, get rid of it, and never provide a place for Satan to work. Now, then the dinosaurs provided a room to that Satan could work. How could it be possible for Satan to incite an animal like a dinosaur? Unlike human beings, animals don't have the sense of the reason to discern the right and the wrong. They act almost on instinct. Therefore, animals are easier than men for Satan to incite. When Satan tempted Eve, temptation was accomplished through the serpent. The reason the serpent became the instrument of Satan was because the serpent has such a sly attribute. Genesis chapter 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which of the Lord God had made." God says that the serpent is the most cunning of all wild beasts. Among the beasts of the field, the serpent was the craftiest one. It had many attributes that could be moved by Satan. Satan can control animals like this, but God can also control animals as necessary. For example, there's an account in the 1 Kings chapter 17, 4-7 that God ordered the ravens to feed Elisha. As Elisha obeyed the word of God and went to the brook Cherith, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and the evening. In addition, there's a record in the number, chapter 22:28-30, that God opened the mouth of the donkey to reveal the truth to Balaam. God can control the animals like this as he pleases. On the other hand, Satan can incite only the animals that have evil attributes. The reason is because such evil attributes as craftiness, envy, jealousy, and greed can become an access point for Satan. Then how did Satan incite the dinosaurs? I said earlier that Satan senses the dinosaurs' envy of a cherubim becoming increasing stronger. It's the same for you. If your greed and the selfishness grow, you can become a target of a Satan. It can capture your mind through the attributes of the selfishness, greed, and that you have. As long as that is in you, you can be manipulated by the Satan. And after your thoughts are captured, your actions come out as actions of the devil. In short, because of your untruthful nature, your thoughts are captured by the Satan and you ended up doing the devil's work. Earlier, I said that Satan noticed that the dinosaurs' jealousy grew more and more. Dinosaurs' envy grew to reach a certain limit that it could deteriorate into the evil such as a jealousy. Satan began to send a far wave of untruth to the dinosaurs. Satan kept on sending the wave until the dinosaurs accepted it. To watch a TV channel, you have to install an antenna to receive an electronic signal. In case of the satellite signal, so you may receive the better signal if you use a bigger satellite dish than when you use a smaller dish. Likewise, when the envy of the dinosaur was small, the wave of the untruth that Satan sent didn't reach dinosaurs. However, as their envy grew bigger, the wave of the untruth that Satan sent finally was received by the dinosaurs. As their jealousy grew, the transmission became connected to that of the Satan. Now, what kind of a thought of the untruth did the Satan put into dinosaurs? In the beginning, it was something like, you can ask Adam to make you like the cherubim. Then you can follow Adam to the earth and stay beside Adam all the time. Of course, dinosaurs thought it was they that had this thought of the Satan's. I wish I could become like a cherubim. Should I ask Adam to make me like one of them? If I become like a cherub, I can visit the earth and stay beside Adam all the time. Dinosaurs thought like this. Satan constantly worked to make dinosaurs keep having this kind of a thought. Then the dinosaurs' desire to become like a cherubim developed and turned into a clear goal. There's no reason I cannot become like them. There should be a way. What is it? Dinosaurs persistently thought of it like this. Satan didn't lose this chance, but tempted dinosaurs even more craftily. It was to incite the dinosaurs to ask Adam to permit them to eat from the tree of a knowledge of a good and evil. Satan said, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of a good and evil, you will become like a cherubim. So go and ask Adam. This is the thought that Satan gave to dinosaurs was too sweet. When the Satan tempted a serpent, that cunning serpent spoke to Eve, and Eve just fell for it. When Eve had a thought of wanting to become like a god, she looked at the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it looked delicious and attractive. And it was not the same as before. She was tempted. Then they completely believed that they could become like a cherubim if they could just eat from the tree of knowledge of the good and evil. Now, dinosaurs couldn't control such a thought any longer, and they put their thought into action. They actually went to the Adam and asked for it. Those cherubims are so loved, but we are not. Please explain why we cannot become like them. We are sure that the answer must be in the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so please let us eat from the tree. This was long before Adam and Eve sinned. It was a question and the demand which was completely absurd. The fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was forbidden even to Adam by God, and the dinosaurs knew about it. However, their judgment was completely clouded by the Satan saying if they already ate the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of evil, good and evil, of course Adam didn't meet the demand of the dinosaurs. He didn't just say no to dinosaurs. He explained in great detail what the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil is and how God warned about it. He clearly told the dinosaurs that not only dinosaurs but also the Adam themselves should not eat the fruit. However, Adam's word did not work to the dinosaurs at all. They wouldn't accept Adam's detailed explanation. They were completely captivated by the idea that they had to eat the fruit. Then an even darker cloud cast over dinosaurs. They began to look for a chance to eat the fruit from the knowledge of good and evil. Dinosaurs were so naive that they thought it was the only way to live more happily with Adam. They couldn't even imagine how huge and terrible the price was that they would have to pay for their work. Once accepting the thought that Satan gave, dinosaurs didn't reject it but kept on accepting it, and as a result, they ended up the situation that becomes irreversible. And the dinosaur finally got themselves into a huge trouble. About this trouble, I will explain in the next lecture. Let me ask some question of you. Why are dinosaur fossils found all over the world? Why are dinosaurs' vocalizations found all over the world, unlike those of other animals? Fossils of lions are not found in the Central and the South America, and there are none in our country. There are no fossils of the elephants in our country. Fossils of animals are found on each continent, except for domestic animals, are classified by type. Because the Pacific Ocean was blocking the way, they could not travel to each other. Snakes were originally only in the places where they were. However, there are many snakes in Guam now. It is said that snakes were placed in Guam during the war, during the World War II. That is that the snakes was moved across the Pacific Ocean by people, soldiers. One more question. Dinosaurs lived for 150 million years. Then what did they eat to survive? The area that a single dinosaur can live and it must be very large. There used to be tigers in our country, but there were only a few of them. In order for a single tiger to survive, it must occupy a wide area and prey on animals. But if there are many tigers, they fight and kill each other. Moreover, what did the great giant dinosaur eat to live for 150 million years? And they were involved? How did they evolve to become those giant dinosaurs? When did they come out of the sea? When did they get feet? When they get wings and who fed them. All that has happened, that a theory about the dinosaurs have become observed and false. It is true that God gave me accurate information about dinosaurs. Dinosaurs were created from the soil of the Garden of Eden in the second heaven, so they were different from the soil of our land. Their bones are different from the bones of animals on our land. They are harder, and that's why they appear as fossils. It will all come up in future sermon about the dinosaurs. Since you may have some question right now, I will briefly touch on a few of them. Let me conclude it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In this lecture, I explained the process of the dinosaurs being tempted by the Satan. However, you should not consider it as a mere fabricated folk lore which took place in the Garden of Eden. You should rather understand why God the Father gave this detailed explanation about one incident that took place in the spiritual land. Dinosaurs live in the Garden of Eden where there's no evil at all, but they eventually became the target of Satan. What was the reason? It was their envy towards the cherub, which always escorted Adam in the close. It was not clear evilness in the beginning. However, they didn't convert it into goodness, but further develop into the eventually make it evil. The attributes of the flesh, evil, and the sin are all the same. They seem neither evil nor sinner at first, but it tolerated it without your notice. Little by little, they grew too big to control. Regarding this, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 says, "Do you not know that the little leaven leavens the whole lump of the dough?" This is the very same reason why I have spoken from this order, so against the work of the flesh this year. If you allow the things that are considered little by worldly standards to happen little by little, you will soon become tainted with sin. However, the children of God should be holy and perfect. They should be blameless and spotless. Do any of you feel resentful about completely cutting off the world like this? Your family and friends get drunk, eat, and have fun to their hearts, and enjoy the worldly cultures to the fullness. So why should we be in moderation? When we go on a narrow road, we say that the narrow road is the road to heaven. The wide road is the road to hell. And we must not sin in order to go to heaven. But as a holy son and the daughters of the God, we must recover the image of the God the Father. This is the life of faith. You just say, "I love God the Father." We must become like God the Father, not only in word, but in reality. That's love. So, Father God enlightened us to erase of our physical lack that could listen. Because God truly loves us. Proverbs chapter 13, 24, "He who holds back his rod hates his son. He who cannot rebuke his children does not love them. On the contrary, he hates his children. Why is it said that way? The children will be ended up spoiled. The Bible says he who loves his child will discipline him diligently. When a child misbehaves, parents who love him discipline him. The book of the Hebrews says that God disciplines his children because he loves them, because they are not considered illegitimate children. This is because we are considered sons and daughters of God, and if we do something wrong, we are punished. Therefore, I hope that you can feel the love of Father God even when I speak so very sternly against the works of the flesh. I once received the word of a reproof from the God the Father for 7 weeks without any apparent fault I could discern. But I still loved the Father God without change of mind, and I gave prayers of thanks in tears. Those who worship the Friday night service when the early time of this church probably remember. At that time, Friday night service started at 11 p.m. and ended at 5 a.m. We were so full that we finished at 7 a.m. Even in the winter, water droplets would fall from the ceiling, and there were people walking around wiping them off. The Holy Spirit filled the temple, and the drops of the water appeared on the wall. But when the Friday night service over, God began to rebuke me. I never once felt resentful. I never complained or thought, why is the Father God rebuking me like this in front of the saints? Anyway, what is that He's rebuking me for? I prayed and prayed for another week to find out. I thought something I had to be blamed for. I prayed to be discovered, but I couldn't find it. I lived only by obeying the world. So there was nothing to discover. After 7 weeks, only then did God the Father tell me why He had rebuked me. It was to see my heart and to prove that I loved God with a sincerity, never feeling uncomfortable or resentful of a God when I was rebuked in front of the saints, even though I had done nothing wrong. I love my Father unchangingly and only offer the prayers of the thanks with the tears. This is true love. If God the Father is teaching you something you cannot comprehend it at the moment by yourself, how much more should you be thankful and be more filled with love? May you understand the deep love of God the Father all the more and become a true, blameless, and a spotless child. In the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.